April, we talked to Gary Lewis, the son of Jerry Lewis, and he talked about his career and that of his father. When he was 18 years old, he was named Cashbox Magazine's Male Vocalist of the Year, winning the honor over Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley, probably the two best-known singers of the 20th century. I'm sure your dad was quite proud of you.
Oh, he was. But you know what's funny about that is that when I wanted to form up the original Playboys, my mom told me, okay, well, I'll buy you all the equipment and I'll rent the rehearsal studio for you and everything, but don't tell your father because if this whole project fails, I got to come up with an excuse as to where this money went. So we played at Disneyland and various, sorority and fraternity houses in 1964. All of this was done without my dad's knowledge. So my dad found out that we had a band when This Diamond Ring was at about 20 on the charts. My mom says, okay, I think that's good enough. You can tell him now. So I brought the first gold record that we got on This Diamond Ring onto the Paramount set where he was shooting a movie, and I said, I got something for you, and he shut down production and all that, and he says, all right, what? And I handed him the gold record, and he looked at it, and he says, when did you do this?
he was not in that world, but I remember he had a talk show, and ultimately you were his favorite guest.
Yeah, you know, it was great. It was just great. I mean, I remember him telling me when I was growing up, he says, I don't care what you do in your life as long as you love it with all your heart and give it 100%. So, the Beatles came out, and that made my mind up for me what I wanted to do.
Well, how was it growing up in the 1950s and 60s in California, which was a different place then, and you were the son of a famous entertainer, one of the world's best entertainers. How was that experience?
Well, you know, I mean, it was really nice to grow up that way. It was really good, but there are drawbacks to it all. If you're raised in a rich family, when you get older, you better figure out a way to stay that way, or it could turn into being a curse. You know, because if all of a sudden you have, you know, like it happened to me in the 70s, I had no more hits anymore after I came back from the Army. The rock and roll got much, much harder, and there wasn't a place for me. Growing up in a well-to-do family, you just don't really know about life's challenges. And, you know, I was faced with that, but I'm probably getting ahead of you.
No, I'm enjoying this, and I bet you still remember the place, the home where you grew up.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, it was a wonderful place. It was a house that was owned by Louis B. Mayer, the head of MGM. And it was a mansion. It was like 32 rooms, 17 bedrooms, stuff like that. For the first week we lived there, I couldn't find anything. I mean, I was lost all the time in that house. But it ended up being my house and, you know, friends around town and at school. We had a great time there. It was great.
What street was it on?
It was on St. Cloud Road in Bel Air, California.
There you go. One of the most opulent places, still is and was, on the planet. But you mentioned your Army stint. Here you are, one of the biggest stars in the world, son of an entertainer. And they weren't just drafting people like you, but you ended up going in the Army. And and we're talking in the Vietnam War.
Right.
What was that experience like?
Well, we were coming off our seventh top 10 in a row, and then boom, I got the draft notice in the mail, and it's very funny that the very first thing I thought of when I saw that draft notice, I said to myself, "Well, Elvis did it, I'll do it," you know. And people, you know, so many people were saying, oh, man, your dad could have gotten you out of that. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. You know, he knows senators and this and that. Well, I didn't want to do that. You know, I didn't want to do that. You know, I mean, favoritism in the Army could have been a really bad thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like when I went into the service, you know, they wanted me to put a band together and play for the USO clubs all over the country. And that's what I told them. I said, I don't want any favoritism, you know. I got to live with all these guys, 50 guys in a barracks, you know, and if I'm shown special attention or anything like that, you know, my time in the service could just be hell. And thank God I had the insight to realize that, you know. And so I said, well, just give me a regular job. And they said, okay, how about Da Nang?
Oh, God. Da Nang. Elvis didn't go to Da Nang.
No, he didn't. But I did for about 3 months. And then, luckily or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, the North Koreans took one of our ships in 1968, the Pueblo, and there was a big military buildup in South Korea because everybody thought they was going to, like, you know, rekindle the Korean War again. And so I got sent to South Korea, and the duty was a lot better than being in Vietnam, I'll tell you. So, but anyway, I was at both places.
Now, Gary Lewis, at the height of his fame, son of Jerry Lewis, he gets drafted and is sent to Da Nang, fights in the Vietnam War, something that sons of privilege just weren't doing, but he did it. And Gary, it certainly affected your career, probably adversely, and Da Nang was no pleasant place. So you've acknowledged you came back with some bad habits.
Oh, yeah, I most definitely did. I mean, I don't know if it was the best way to survive over there, but there was definitely drugs going around all the time, everywhere you look, and everybody was doing it. And I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, if you guys are just smashed out here in the field, I mean, they could just, the Vietnamese could just overrun this place, and you're dead. That's it. So I thought about that once, and then I went ahead and did what everybody else was doing. That lasted a long time, and it was really, really a drag. You know, my life was kind of like that TV show on called Intervention. Mm. You know, it was just like that.
Your father had trouble with this as well. He had a tough time accepting this.
Yeah, most definitely. He didn't know what to think or what to do. He actually, I mean, what parent is equipped to know what to do in that kind of situation? You go into the Army and you come back addicted to something. My parents just wrote it out with me, you know? And you know, I decided one day that this is enough. This is enough. I've had it. I'm tired. You know, there's no point to it. So I did the whole detox and rehab thing. And so now, I'm coming up on 24 years sober.
That's beautiful. You were born around the same time as three U.S. presidents, all of whom were born in the summer of 46, Donald Trump, George Bush, Bill Clinton. They didn't serve, but you did in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Is there any resentment about the fact that you paid a price that many sons of privilege who went to high places, the highest place in the world, the presidency of the United States, that they didn't do what you did?
No, it doesn't bother me one bit. You know, so it turned out that it was a real good thing that I did go, you know, and I kind of saw that. I kind of saw that if I went into the service, that's the way it would be, instead of people saying, oh, your dad got you out of that, didn't he? Mm. You know, so I didn't want that. I just didn't want it.
Well, not many Vietnam young men, and still in your teens, have already been on the Tonight Show, the Ed Sullivan Show, been the number one musician, singer in the world. Did you have a favorite show that you appeared on when you were going strong as a kid?
Yeah, the Ed Sullivan Show. Ed Sullivan was, well, you know, 8 o'clock on Sunday night, the entire country was tuned in. And my dad always used to tell me, he said, if you can do the Sullivan Show, you're in. You're almost in. You break a record on the Ed Sullivan Show, it's going to be a hit. And he also told me that people work 20 years of their career to get on the Ed Sullivan Show. And we did it 6 times in 2 years.
Your dad is 90 years old, one of the most amazing men of any type, but he is famous as a comedian, actor, you name it, he's done it. I'm sure he's an inspiration, but this is a guy who's had a few bumps and bruises himself.
But, you know, he keeps reinventing himself. I mean, he still goes out on tour. He goes on the road and he plays casinos and, you know, various coliseums everywhere, and he still fills them up. But the show has just changed from anything physical to where now he sits down, he talks to the people, he tells jokes, he shows videos of various movies of his, and he explains exactly how this idea came about and what it took to put this together. And so it's like an informational show about his career, and people love it.
Gary Lewis, remembering his father who died Sunday at 91, Jerry Lewis. That's it for today. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.